What do you want to do? You want to talk about this past week in comics?
Sure. Let's talk about this past week in comics. You got no comics this week.
Yeah, it gave me a chance to almost catch up on some reading.
All right. Okay, I look forward to listening to that.
Yeah. Let me grab what I've been reading while I'm thinking about
it. Let's see, what I get this week? Got Batgirl.
Yeah.
Which I posted an extensive recap of, so...
So, just... I don't read Batgirl, but I read your play-by-plays. So this guy
That's
went...
Sweet.
He went from Grey Ghost, from a mystery hero, possibly villain, to, like, a really crappy hero, to a stalker. Is that right?
Yes. Well, we first see him as Johnny C., and he's, like, wearing an explosive belt on a train and being like, why is anybody here? This is a terrible city. Have you noticed how much crime there is? Get out!
So,
just get
like,
out!
A suicide protester.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she takes him out, and then he's like, I love her. And then he takes the persona of the Grey Ghost to be her helper.
Yeah.
And,
which I think is pretty cool. Or the fact that the Grey Ghost is like a DC thing now, I think is
yes.
kind of cool. Because that was one of my favorite episodes as a kid. I thought that was really awesome.
And, now he was kind of always a stalker, but now he's one that's like, I gotta protect her, so I'm gonna engage in crime to distract her from your crime.
That almost makes sense. But I feel like that would be infuriating, like, as a human being. Why can't she just, I don't know, break his leg or something?
That's probably coming up.
That would be pretty funny. I would definitely have to buy that issue. But yeah, so you bought Batgirl.
Brian Q. Miller, you know what it takes.
Broken bones.
To get David on board.
Callous violence.
I got Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. It's skewing a little too Secret Six-ish for my taste these days.
In terms of violence or?
In terms of violence and content.
Yeah. Is Black
They've
Mary
even got
legs?
The Secret Six villain, like the first. I think it's the first arc.
Mockingbird, like from the old days.
No, from the continuing series.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Junior. It's Ragdoll's sister.
Okay.
And she's like an ultra evil mob boss who rules the criminal underground from just like inside a
like a
box.
trunk
yes
okay.
That's it, with a telephone and a notepad, and just does things that are so awful that no one wants to cross her.
Yeah.
And then it was a reveal that she was Ragdoll's sister, and now the last we saw of her, I think she might have been in hell. No. The last we saw of her specifically was she and Tarantula were like fighting each other, and they got pushed off a bridge, and
is
a whole bunch of villains.
Nightwing's
Tarantula, yes.
Okay.
Were shooting a million bullets up at them.
Yeah.
But apparently she survived.
Okay. I mean, contortionist, maybe.
Better art now, though.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Who's the new artist? Let me see if I can Google it up real quick.
I don't actually have him on hand. I'm sorry, new artist.
Jesus Saiz, who's pretty good. He's in kind of like that David Lopez school who did Batwoman, or not Batwoman, Catwoman, back when it was 1 year later and she had the baby. Mm. Yeah, it's a pretty sharp style. This cover, I don't know, though.
Really? I like it.
With walking away from the exploding building?
And they're all in suits. And including Hawk, despite the fact that he still has a superhero mask underneath his
yeah.
little suit. I like the cover.
It reminds me of... there was a game called Killer 7. And I'm just going to ruin it because no one listening to this is ever going to play it. There's 7 assassins, but it turns out that they're all alternate personalities of one guy. And if I remember...
I don't think you can ruin that. I think that ruined itself.
It was one of those games with, like, a fantastic story, but you just didn't want to play it because it wasn't any fun. Like, it was interesting to read about. But one of the personalities is a dude in this really nice, like, white suit with a purple shirt and a purple luchador's mask. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Bane. And it's, like, mask plus suit, I think, is very cool.
But you don't like this one?
It's, like, I get the concept, I just don't feel the execution. Mm. Like, did they blow up that building? Is that what the Birds of Prey do now?
There was no blown up building.
Oh, it's so misleading.
Oh, a comic book cover. Who would have known?
So, Hawk and Dove, and I guess that's Black Canary, though she looks like Mockingbird on this cover. They're still on the team?
Yes.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I like them.
Okay.
But right now they're kind of... Basically, it follows them through this... Different teams, different groups of them, like they split up into twos and threes, mm-hmm. and try to get into this ultra high security super villain building. Mm-hmm. And
sort of Ocean's 11-y?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them like use force, and some of them are interrogating someone else, and some of them are like going undercover.
I imagine Hawk just uses force.
And. And then they get to the end, and the big reveal is that it's Junior that they're trying to go after.
Okay. What else did you get this week?
What else did I get? I got Batman Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what you missed?
I missed a black Batman named David and Cassandra Cain.
Yes, you did. In a very awesome suit. I love that suit on her.
It's like the spider cape is kind of cool.
The ribbons just flying everywhere. It's like, I'm Cassandra Cain. I can have ribbons.
So it turns out
the
that...
The pointy mask.
Like, her name, Black Bat, is some kind of crazy reference to, like, an old pulp hero. But there was also a squadron of Chinese, like, fighter pilots known as the Black Bats. So it's a very, I guess, apropos name in a way. But yeah, it was, I'm still waiting for the trade.
Wait, how do you know if you didn't get it?
Because I flipped through.
Oh, shame.
I talked to the guy who does all the Batman annotations, like, every single day.
That's true.
So that morning I was like, hey, David, tell me about this black guy who's Batman now. And he filled me in. But yeah, it's,
And you're both like, he's named after me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chris Sims is in that issue. There's a dead body in the very beginning, like in like a garbage dump or something. Mm-hmm. And the artist Chris Burnham drew in Sims as the dead body.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
So now we have like two people we know who have been in various Bat comics.
Yeah.
With Graham McMillan, name only, being a character in a Catwoman comic. I got him to sign that.
Yeah.
He protested because the character was a fetishist. But, once again, name only.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who actually did it was like, called him up and was like, I'm using your name, but, sorry. I mean, you know it's not you otherwise.
Yeah.
And two people!
There was,
Who do I have to strangle to be in a Batgirl comic? Because I'll do it.
Possibly Brian Q. Miller. And then you'd have to wear a skin and write yourself into the comic.
Fine.
There was a pizza delivery guy named Gavin in Deadpool at one point, who I think was killed. And there was an Agent Brothers in an Elektra comic. Which, like, Brothers is not a common name, so I'm marking that one down as mine.
Awesome!
Yeah, so now we just need an Esther.
Yes, such a common name.
But yeah, so what'd you think of Batman Inc.? Like, 6 months in, is it worth the time, worth the trouble?
I liked this issue better than some of the last ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the last ones just got too tangled up in weird continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, quit playing around.
That's part of why I was a little bored, is that it felt like figuring this stuff out was a little more fun than actually reading the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool, this is how this connects. I just wish that it was slightly better, you know?
Yeah. And this is one of those... And okay, I'm sorry, but there never was a old Batwoman in current continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Come on.
Yeah.
But... This one was just... Bruce Wayne being a complete psycho and posting about Batman on message boards and being like, with this huge, like, did you see the art for that? He turns around in front of the computer.
Yeah, he's got a very Howard Chaykin face.
Happy smile, and he's like, mwahahaha, once they finally try to figure out the identities, there'll be too much misinformation to even start.
And I'm not sure if the internet works like that, but all it takes is one piece getting picked up by, like, Fox News, and it's in the consciousness forever.
And, plus, I mean, he's not dealing with rational people here.
Mm-hmm.
If 600 people get named as Batman and the entire criminal syndicate wants to eliminate Batman that bad, they can just kill those 600 people. In comics. I don't know how it works in the real world, but...
Killing 600 people who are also Batman...
Who might be Batman.
Oh, who might be Batman. So not, like, Nightrunner and all those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If it's, like, this guy from down the road might be Batman, because he goes out at night or something like that.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be just, like, the night shift somewhere, and he gets killed, that's a little bad.
Security guard at Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one touch in the issue. I think it's in the preview online where there's a receptionist waiting at the desk in Wayne Enterprises or Wayne Corp, whatever it's called now.
Is she named Esther?
She's named Ellie.
Ah!
And months and actually a few years ago at this point, Batman, it was when the Bane cop was beating up Batman and he barely escaped with his life. Mm-hmm. And one of... Like, a young girl, a prostitute, saved him and drove him to another place.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, here's my business card. And then later he was like...
You can talk, that means you can answer phones.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same girl. Which is, like, that's the stuff that's cool, but it, like, I just need to read it in chunks is what it feels like. Because, like, then I'll actually get it right as it happens, rather than, like, having that 30 days to forget what's going on.
That was such a ridiculous issue.
Yeah.
Where he's like, this guy... works on pheromones, so I'm gonna roll
Alpha
around
Mel plus
roll around in a suit that I use to berate the board members.
Yeah,
like, so board members are like super testosterone-y. I don't
it's judging by what they get away with. Yes.
Anyway,
yeah,
I totally forgot where I was.
Batman Inc. You like it?
I do. And, like, bad guys come up, and suddenly there are, like, six Batmen behind him. Yeah. And he's like, ah, this is totally just him being like, this is so awesome. Why didn't I do this before?
It's
that whole, I'm a loner, I work alone. That sucked.
You know what it seems like? Is one thing that Frank Miller did that I thought was awesome for Batman was have him say... It was in Dark Knight Strikes Again, where he breaks into a building, he beats up Lex Luthor, and then as he's flying away in his new bad jet, he has his legs kicked up, and he's like, striking terror, best part of the job, and just this huge grin on his face. Like, I want to see more of that with Batman.
Where he's but he's not striking terror. He's team building, and he's just being like...
By building a paramilitary unit of Batman.
Troll to evildoers, where he's like, come on, attack me, attack me. Oh, I got an entire army behind me.
How is that not striking terror?
And he's like going on message boards, and...
That's terrifying.
That's... he's just having fun. I like it.
Yeah.
And also Cassandra Cain. Fantastic outfit. They should keep that outfit forever.
It's she's going to be in Gates of Gotham that's coming out soon, which apparently is, like, since David Finch can't put out a Batman comic on time, that's going to be one of their big tentpole books for the summer. And I don't know what it's about, except that it's about Batman, the entire Bat family, and all of Gotham City.
That kind of strikes me as a Gotham Underground repeat.
But there's good people involved this time. It's Scott Snyder, who's been doing Detective with Jock and Francesco Francavilla.
I don't like that run, Detective.
Really?
Well, I just don't like the way it's going with the James Gordon, is my son a mass murderer, is he not?
Yeah.
Like, no. Let's just say he's not. I'd rather he not be.
I think they're leaning heavily in the direction of he's not, but then someone's going to show up that makes it look like he is.
Mm.
And then Commissioner Gordon's going to be like, you know, I've got to shoot my son, and then he misses, and his son is like, it wasn't me, and then their relationship's broken forever.
Unlike... the past few years where he was completely disappeared from continuity for decades.
Like past 25 yes. years. Yeah.
Like, that's just unnecessary.
I do like how they basically say, well, they don't say, but they really imply that James Gordon knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman at this point. Just because there's no way he's that dumb. Like, he would have to be Lois Lane dumb to not have figured it out by now.
I think they did it before during, oh, they did it about a lot of times.
Yeah, he's done it several times.
He knows. We all know he knows.
He just can't say because, yeah. All right, what else? That's Batman Inc. Let me see what else you box. I had a list. Doc Savage, you like the crocodile on the cover?
I did like the crocodile on the cover, but I didn't like anything inside, so. But I do, that was a nice cover.
That series is, well, it's just a year. I guess it's not really far. It's made it farther than I thought it would, to be honest. Have you read any of The Spirit, the relaunch that goes alongside Doc Savage?
No.
It's really good, sort of, it's crime comics, but it's kind of funny at the same time. Like, there's this bit where the new Ebony White, who's like a sassy young black girl instead of like a horribly offensive minstrel, whatever, she gets kidnapped by these gangsters. And the Spirit's angry, and he was just almost died. He gets off the operating table and like rushes out to save her, and Commissioner Dolan, his Gordon, is like, take this gun with you, you'll need an equalizer. And the Spirit holds up both his fists, and he's like, no, these are my equalizers. He jumps out of the helicopter and, like, right into the fray. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that, where it, like, teeter-totters on the edge of corny, but it just land on the right side. And the art's fantastic.
So. Go ahead and take your word on the fact that it lands on the right side.
It's like watching... It's almost like if Dick Tracy was a good movie.
Like, that's a big if.
Yeah. But yeah, so this week I had...
Fourth letter, the forecast. Only people with the guts to call out Warren Beatty. Yeah.
I'm surprised they never did a sequel.
20 years afterwards.
Dick's retired and he has to come back out of retirement. Now that Warren Beatty's like 80 years old, you know, I'm sure there's some horrible villain. Oh, so the Dick Tracy newspaper comics, have you seen those?
No.
They're like gritty, hardcore violence. Like, people actually die, and when people are selling drugs, they use actual drug names. And it's a newspaper comic, which is really kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. It sort of made me want to read it.
Like, what hardcore drug names?
Well, not hardcore drug names, but like, if they're moving cocaine, they'll actually say cocaine.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, are there hardcore drug names that I don't know about? People are going to think I'm a dork.
But, you know, like, newspaper comics are supposed to be very bland and boring.
Yeah.
And usually people would get really upset about that unless it's, like, Doonesbury. But, yeah, so I've been reading Peanuts because Fantagraphics hooked me up with some of their archival hardcovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never read the stuff from the 70s before. Maybe one or two strips if they were reprinted. But it's sort of like, I forgot how much I really enjoyed Peanuts. Like, I've always been a fan, and there's pictures of me out there with, like, Snoopy gear on and, like, a bomber jacket with Joe Cool on it. But, like, it's much smarter than I remembered it being. Like, there are a lot of really good jokes. And I tore through, like, 150 pages of this book over my lunch break. And there's actual storylines. There's a good one where they plan to throw Charlie Brown like a commemorative dinner for being the manager of the baseball team. And like, they get everybody there, they invite Charlie, they invite his baseball idol, who is some Joe Schlobotnik who works at the car wash, who was a last round draft pick, which is so fitting. And everybody gets there and they're like, wait, we are totally hypocrites because Charlie Brown is terrible at baseball. And they all just leave. Yeah, and Charlie's sitting at the table like, I wouldn't have minded a hypocritical commemorative dinner, you know.
Oh my god.
It's so sad.
How can you like
It's funny.
See. See, I only remember reading it when I was really, really young.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was still doing the Joe Cool hanging out at the student union, which I realize was now was kind of satirizing the hipsters of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
But I had no idea. I'm like, who's Joe Cool?
Parents, like, it's a dog in sunglasses. That is awesome.
He's this idea that he's really, really cool when he puts on sunglasses. It's the student union.
There's a good one where...
So I'm kind of put off by Peanuts just because I got to the end of each one.
Yeah.
And I was... I don't understand several different things about this.
It's... I guarantee you'll understand a lot more now. Like, I appreciate it on an entirely different level than I did before. Joe Cole, his gimmick is that he drinks a lot of root beer and then passes out, which is clearly supposed to be alcohol.
Yes.
But, like, Woodstock being a really dumb half-blind bird, I didn't realize was a thing. Because he just flies, you know, meanders around in the air, and he's always flying into trees or something. There's one that proves that if someone's mean to you in a sexist way, you should just sock them on the nose. Because there's this new character never seen before who goes up to Marcy while she's playing baseball, and he's like, I don't think girls should play baseball. You're just not any good at it. You should just cook and clean and wash dishes. And I'm like, holy crap, this is Peanuts, really? And she's going, you know, I'm going to give this guy a piece of my mind, sir. And Peppermint Patty's like, you know, fine, go ahead, we'll call a timeout on the game. And she's like, if you say one word, and, you know, I'm going to sock you right on the nose. And the guy's like, oh, and she punches him. It's the last panel. Like, this stuff is so good, and I had no idea.
A piece of my mind fist, or what?
Not even a pun, just a straight-up punch. She's like, that was one word, you know. And the next strip is all about how she didn't want to hit him, but, you know, she just kind of got really angry. She had an entire speech plan that she wanted to say to prove that women are equal to men. It's much more adult in humor, and not in, like, a, you know, poop jokes or boob jokes sort of way. But yeah, it is brutally mean to Charlie Brown. He goes on vacation to a summer camp. Mm-hmm. Because he's just dreaming about baseballs all the time, and eventually he gets a rash on his head in the shape of a baseball, like the seams. So he wears a paper bag when he goes to camp, and everyone elects him president, like he's the most popular guy at the camp. They follow his advice, and he's like, what is the quote about a prophet's only a strength? Anyway, the gist of the quote is that everyone hates prophets except people who are not where the prophet is from. And he's popular. He takes off the paper bag at one point to go home, and the guys are like, wait, we elected that guy our president? And it's just a twist of the knife that Charlie Brown can only be popular when he's not Charlie Brown. There's a lot of stuff about, like, art versus commerce.
This is totally comics to hang yourself to.
But the way it's presented, it's sad, but it's also funny. Like, it's a little schadenfreude. But you know Schroeder, the pianist, he's always playing, and yeah. Lucy is like, listen, we should get married. And he's like,
reclining,
I'd rather
on
go to jail.
Piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's one where she says, if I ordered you to fall in love with me, would you do it? And he's like, no, I'd just go to jail. And she jumps on his piano and screams, well, I'd visit you in jail. But they have a couple of conversations about how, you know, like, hey, can you make money playing the piano? And he's like, it doesn't matter, it's art. And, like, there's a silent panel, and then she's like, that's ridiculous. It's, as a kid, I just thought Peanuts was a funny comic with Snoopy and the Great Pumpkin and all that stuff. But it's very deep and very sad to be Charlie Brown. Like, I'm honest, I've got two more of these hardcovers. It's from, like, 73 to 1976. And I got to Google some of this stuff because, like, there's a lot of sports jokes of people who I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. The introduction to this one's by Billie Jean King, the tennis player. Apparently Charles Schulz was a huge fan of tennis. But there's a gambling story. Snoopy is nominated to be the best dog in whatever the name of their city is, and mm-hmm. he goes around trying to get signatures. And there's one strip that has him looking at the application. It says name of owner, and there's a question mark in Snoopy's head, and Charlie Brown's like, I'm Charlie Brown, and Snoopy's like, this is really embarrassing. Because apparently Snoopy doesn't know anyone's names. Like, Charlie Brown's that dumb round-headed kid. Lucy's the stupid girl or something like that. Only Woodstock gets any respect for Snoopy. Yeah, it's really, really good stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm glad Fantagraphics is putting... Like, these cost, like, $20 or something like that. I don't know. I can't find the price just glancing at it. But totally worth the money. It's... I can't even think of a good analogy for what it's like. It's like having a friend you had as a kid and, like, meeting them 20 years later, and they're somehow even more awesome than they were when you were a kid. It's like
that. I was going to think they're even more of a sad sack than they were as a kid.
Yeah, that is true. Charlie Brown is definitely very sad. But, yeah, I don't know. Very, very fond of it. And, yeah, so that's pretty much... What else did I read this week? I finished 7 Billion Needles, which I don't think I've told you about yet, where the girl gets possessed by an alien. And then instead of it doing the usual arc of like, hey, I've got powers, life is awesome, now I'm popular, it's more just like she's still sort of a shut-in. But it's good, and it's not sad much at all. And the Comics Alliance pull quote on the back is actually from a review I wrote, which was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But I read that.
You used the word aplomb.
I like that word. I've got a huge thesaurus, and I plan to use every word.
They've added your name, David Brothers Comics Alliance.
Yeah. But I guess you have to save space. I've mostly just been rereading stuff that I've already read for either a project or just because, like, I'm like, hey, I'm bored and I haven't read Hitman in, you know, 4 weeks. Let me revisit it. So what do you read the most? Do you do a lot of rereading, or do you stick mostly week by week with new comics?
I tend to do a lot of rereading of stuff that's out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it isn't, I see the, oh my god, 13 boxes of comics I have in my what used to be a mostly empty closet and is now a mostly full closet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this worth playing like a massive game of Tetris over? Or can I just remember it?
Well, if it was Tetris, they would disappear when you got it lined up properly and not be in your way anymore. I think at this point I read, it's probably 50-50 new stuff and old stuff. Like, I've really slowed down how much I buy new trades on Amazon because, like, hey, that cover looks neat. That often doesn't work out how I want it to. But, like, I'll go back and I just reread Preacher maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I'm planning to reread New X-Men so I can write about that. It's like a big group project.
I'm kind of at this point rereading with an eye towards, can I give this away?
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I'm sorry, 13 boxes!
The only problem with, like, getting rid of comics is that nobody wants floppies.
Mm.
Because, like, 13 boxes, you know, what are you going to do with that? But I actually have a lot of trades that I want to get rid of. Well, not that I want to get rid of, that I need to get rid of before I die in a comic book-related accident in my apartment. But, yeah, what I usually do is, like, how much do I want to reread this, and would I reread this in a year from now? And if the answer to either of those is no, then give them the boot. Like, just give them away to somebody or sell them if you can.
Mm. Well, my mom teaches school, so I can just give them to her.
Oh,
well, the appropriate
ones.
You got
a lot of DC comics. It's not any worse than, like, Bridge Over the River Kwai or All Quiet on the Western Front.
But I don't think they'll see it that way. And also, fourth graders don't read All Quiet on the Western Front.
If they don't, they should. They might learn something. But anyway, that was...
War is hell, children. War is hell.
That's as good of a note to end on as any.
No stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.